Okay. So we're going to try to discuss a little about trying to feel the Shekhinah's presence. So imagine you arrive in a strange town. It's time for Shachris. You go into the local shul. You open the door. You look inside. And sure enough, you see Rav Moshe Feinstein sitting at one table. Next to him is the Chafetz Chaim. Behind them is the Stipler, the Baal Shem Tov, with Rav Shach and Rav Dessler next to them. The entire room is vibrant with holiness and purity. And as you weave yourself, you know, through the tables looking for a seat, you finally find one. You daven with such an intensity and the clarity that you never believed was possible. And you actually feel Hashem's presence right there in the room, listening to your every word. So one who can vividly imagine this type of experience can understand what it means to feel the Shekhinah's presence as he's davening. However, for most of us, this is quite difficult. For us, the Shekhinah remains an enigma. So the Aruch Lener compares, he says, the Shekhinah is similar to the sun. Just as the rays of the sun vary from place to place, so too the rays of the Shekhinah do the same, depending on the place or the occurrence of what's going on. And our task as we daven is to expose our neshamos to these rays of the Shekhinah and to shed the layers of the distraction or habits that we have and to feel, the Shekhinah's presence that's all around us. Imagine a second story. If the decades of research, medical science has a cure for heart disease. It's a purple light that they shine onto the person's body and the waves get absorbed into the skin, goes directly to the blood, and unblocks the arteries, and the patient, you know, goes back to perfect health. However, one patient insists that he wants to go into this treatment wearing a heavy winter coat, thick woolen pants, a hat, and a scarf. And when his symptoms fail to improve, he decides it's a hoax. There's nothing to it. So a person we know can be in the presence of an overwhelming spiritual force and yet notice nothing. He could be standing in front of the Shekhinah and only sense the guy davening next to him. And this happens not as the patient in the story believes, because there are no benefits. It's because the person has entered into an environment of holiness, of kedusha and awe, but's insulated from head to toe. Continuing with the Aruch Lener again, so the Aruch Lener again said that the Shekhinah and the sun are similar, and just like if someone puts something up and blocks the rays of the sun, he goes into the shade, he's indoors, that the warmth of the light will change from when he's standing directly in its path, so too when it comes to the Shekhinah, if we have things that are up in the way, that are blocking, we're going to be limited in the impact from the Shekhinah. And Rav Dessler explains from the Ramchal, in this first Mar Mokum here, he says, Ki chalonos libo shal adam achurim heima, the windows of the person are dirty, the windows of the heart, v'chol sheyir belan kosam, and whoever takes the time, you know, to clean them, so yichanis bem ha'har yosa, then the light will go in. So Rav Dessler is telling us that basically we're polluted. The hearts are polluted, and therefore we have a difficult time feeling the Shekhinah. And we know that during davening especially is one of the intense moments that the Shekhinah is there. And we only will feel that if we get rid of the obstacles we place in its path. Another potential obstacle to us why we don't feel the Shekhinah, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, he says, V'amar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, Lama Nismachu Olam L'Cholim. Why is it that why the Torah juxtapose, I can't even get the word out. Right, thank you. The word Olim and Cholim, as it says, Kin Cholim Nitoyu Kaganos Alinar Kaolim Nota. And the Gemara tells us, Lo Maloch to tell you, Man Cholim Malin as Adam Itumal Tahara, just like the rivers and the Cholim can take a person who's Tomei to make him Tohar, Af Ohalin, so to the tents, and Rashi tells us the Olin, which I underlined is Bate Midrashos. Malin es odem ikav chov lakav schus can take someone from a chiyuv, from tamei lakav schus to become pure again. And the Maaseh Rakech just explains, Beis Medrash, the Gematria is 961, and there are 961 lugim in a mikvah, and therefore that's the connection. And we know also from another Gemara that it's just the ear of the Beis Medrash that can be matar you. Because the Gemara tells us, in Pagalacha Menuvel Zeh, if the Yetzirah comes to you, Moshkeilu Beis Medrash, take him into the Beis Medrash. It doesn't say to do anything else. The first step is just bring him in the Beis Medrash. And if you bring him in there, then you have the ability for the Beis Medrash alone just to help you. Now, the Pnei Menachem, one of the Gerer Rebbes, explains in Parshas Vayelech, and he brings from the Imre Emes, and he says, just like by a mikvah, in order for it to be matar you, you have to be completely in. If there's one hair of the person not in that mikvah, it does nothing. He says, so too, if one wants the Beis Medrash to be matar him, and to be mezakeh him, he has to be completely in it also. It can't have any chatzitza between himself and the Beis Medrash. He can't have even that one hair sticking out. So that's a good question. What does that mean? So Rav Avram Shur explained, he said, the Imre Emes was referring benavua to cell phones today. He says the cell phone keeps us connected to the outside world. And that's the here that's outside of the mikvah. And when a person is busy, whether it's his phone is on, even if it's on vibrate, but he's waiting, you know, for the phone call, for his text, for the email, for something to come, that's that here that's outside of the mikvah or outside the Beis Medrash. And therefore we do not have, you know, we don't get that sensitivity. We don't have that impact of the Shekhinah that's going on. And therefore, we need to obviously, you know, disconnect. And I know in talking to the person who told this to me, my father said that he leaves his phone in the car. He doesn't even bring it in. Even though it's off, doesn't even bring it in. So there's no Yetzirah of that connection. So how can one, therefore, raise the Shekhinah? How can we try to, make ourselves clean the windows, clear our hearts? So obviously one is to make sure there are no chatzitzos. If Shimshon Pinkus tells us, he says, Ikar HaTfila, Shu Lahargish She'omid Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Metzius, Lahargish Kervaso. It's to feel that you're standing in reality, in actual, it's real, that we're standing before Hashem. V'Shem Metziuso V'Kervaso Yisbarachem Metzios Mamoshos. And it's no different than any other reality that we have in our lives. It's the equivalent type of reality. Tzarech l'tzeh hergol rav, he says, but you have to put in a lot of work. Until you make it part of yourself. Hativ is part of your nature. And he says, as B'Tfil Sisharim brings, I'm only going to read the first one of the three things he brings. But he says, "V'inei shlosha dvarim tzarech shishtakel la'adam." There are three things a person has to look at, v'yisbonen and heitiv, and understand. K'dei shehigia el zol seyira, to get to this fear, to get to this realizing that we're in front of Hashem. Ha'echad shu'omin mamish l'fnei bari yisbarach shmo, that you're standing mamish in front of Hashem. V'nosei v'nosei nimo, and you're conversing with Him. You're having a conversation. Aval pi she'ein eino sholdam reo, even though your eye can't see Him. And this is very difficult, one of the most difficult, Mesil Sharm says, for the heart to be able to feel and understand it. Because there's no senses, there's no part of us that's helping to say, Hashem's really here. Omnam, he says, however, someone who's a balseichel, with just a little understanding and working with your heart, you're able to put the truth into your heart. How you mamish talking, conversing with Hashem. And you're pleading before Him, and you're asking from Him. And Hashem's actually listening to what you're talking about. Just like when a person converses and talks with his friend, and his friend is actively listening. So he says that the Reb Shimshon Pinkus is the first step to being able to feel the Shekhinah. Is that we have to work to picture, and he just ends in the last paragraph. He says, "Lahasik kol zeh yosemi mashit tzarech l'samig l'shalig b'taras leiv." More than getting into the purity of the heart, is tzarech l'sragel b'dvarim elu v'lachshuv behem, to think about them, l'zocher pam achapam, to constantly review it and remind yourself. Till your senses, till your nature becomes used to this, that when the moment you come to tefillah, that you're standing before Hashem, in its simplicity, that it's something to work on, that eventually when we walk into davening, it's real, it's there, Hashem's there, and we're talking with Him. So that's one way to work on it. A second way to possibly feel the Shekhinah is, I remember this goes back many years, I was once, for a bunch of years, I was a staff member at Camp Stei Chemed in Eretz Yisrael. And obviously, one of the highlights of the summer for most people was you go to the Kotel many times to daven, as it's the Mokum Kodesh that we have left. And to many of the kids in camp, it was just another spot. Didn't really mean much. And I remember one particular time, there was the Miami Hurricanes, which is, for those that don't know, a college basketball team, was there at the same time that we were. And they got a lot more attention from the kids than the Kotel itself did. And if we realize that if a person, he can go to a Makom Kadosh, but if he's going without the desire to seek out the Shekhinah, then indeed you're going to find and feel nothing there. Even if it's saturated with the Shekhinah. And the Ramchal tells us that there are places that the Shekhinah is obviously more than others. A shul, you know, during davening. And it's only in those places, and it's only there for those who go to seek him out. As the Pasuk in Devarim tells us in Parashas Re'eh, to the place that Hashem chooses from all the Shvatim. You have to go seek him when you go there. So if you want to get the Shekhinah, you have to mamish go out and look for it. And the Gemara in Chulin tells us that when Yaakov traveled to Charan, he went past Beis El, where the Avos had davened in the past, and then he went back, and the Gemara is darshan because it says Vayetze Yaakov Bereshava Vayela Charana, that he left and he went to Charan, and then only after that does it start telling us about his whole story with his dream and the ladder. And at first he actually passed by, and it was only when he then decided, the Gemara tells us, that Kav Yov Daite Lemehade, when he said, yeah, how could I have gone past there and not Davin? So Kovtzalei Aram Yad, immediately there was a Kvitzis Aderech. And the mountain came, and that's why it says Vayivka, the mountain came and met him. And Rav Dessler explains that the only reason Yaakov had this miracle of the Kvitzis HaDerech was when he acknowledged that I need to go back to that Makom Kadosh, I have to go seek out Hashem and daven there. So once he went, had that desire, then the nace happened, and it came to him. It wasn't the first time when he passed it that there was a sudden Hashem said, hey, knock, knock, you know, there's a Makom Kadosh, please daven here. But it was once he went back and said, hey, you know, this is a Malkum Kodesh I need to get back to daven, did he then get that nay? So if we come to shul looking for that connection, that too can help us in feeling the Shekhinah. Thirdly, Chazal tell us in Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, Mishabura says, Bate Kinesios, Bate Midrashos, Eino Hagimim Kalos Rosh. A person's not supposed to be having Kalos Rosh. And the Mishabura explains, Kihem Nekroim Mikdash Ma'at. I'm not defining at the moment anything. Right now, I'm just going through. So, and the Mishabura just tells us the reason is because it's a mikdash ma'at, and he says kimodik siv ve'ei lahem lemikdash ma'at, that I will be for them a mikdash ma'at, and the mikdash ksiv, and on the mikdash it says mikdashi tiro, that the fear of the mikdash applies today to the shul. Now, some of those things that we have to be careful in shul, which the Mechaber tells us about, is being lightheaded, levity, talking about, you know, things that are not, you know, to the davening. One's not even supposed to use it as a shelter. If there's nowhere else to go, then it's different. But if he has other choices, he's not supposed to say, oh, it's raining right now, quick, let me just, you know, run into shul quickly. He's not supposed to use it for a shortcut. He's not even supposed to just go in. You know, many times someone will come to the back and the, you know, wife will say, oh, can you just get my husband? You know, he's not allowed to just go in to get the husband. He has to go in and say halacha, to say a pasuk. So we have to have a certain kedusha, and by preserving the shul as that environment of kedusha, that again shows to Hashem the desire that we want to be able to connect with Him. And Rabbi Fran tells over a story about someone he knows. He says, calls him just a regular guy, and he says he's washed and daven, and he davens unbelievably. And he said, you know, he once asked him for the secret, and the guy said, you know what? I can't tell you there's anything special I do. He says, but one time I heard a tape of Noach Weinberg's Zatzal, which suggested that when we go into shul, we shouldn't talk about anything to anyone in shul. Not a hello, not a goodbye, not good morning, not how are you, nothing, not one word. He goes, I tried it, and I noticed that as I kept to this, my tefillos were entirely different. And since then, many years ago, I've never spoken in shul. And he says, let me be honest. He goes, it's very embarrassing. The times you go to a simcha, relatives come over, you haven't seen them in a long time, how are you, what's going on? He says, and all I do is grunt and nod back to them. But he goes, but I have to tell you, it's totally worth it, because shul has become a makom kadosh to me now. And if we give the shul that reverence that's due to a makom kadosh, that it immediately will cause us to shift gears when we walk into shul. Our mind, our mood, our thoughts, it's all there that we're coming just to talk to Hashem. And at that point, we have shown Hashem that we're making a sincere effort. And as we know from the Shir Shirim Rabbah, it says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, B'ni Paschli Pesach Echad Shal Tshuva Kechud Shal Machad, open me just a small needle hole. V'ani Pesach Lam Pesachim Shiyu Agol Sukronos Nechnosos Bo, and I'll open for you an opening which wagons and trolleys can enter through. And if we just make that effort and show Hashem that, you know what, I want Shul to be a Makom Kadosh, I'm coming because I'm looking for you, then with all those things, Hashem then will take our little effort and make it and help us with our davening. One last one, and there are many, but just a few that I've put together. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Ezeo Parsha Katana Shekol Gufei HaTorah Tluyim Bo. What's a small parsha that everything in the Torah is attached to? B'chol Derecha De'ehu, that in all ways you should know him, V'yashar Achosecha, and then he will straighten your paths. And the Rambam explains from this pasuk, and I'm not going to read this entire two sifrim of the Rambam, but the Rambam basically, just in the beginning, says, Sarach ha'adam she'yichavin kol ma'isav kulam, k'dei leidas Hashem baruch hu b'lvad. Everything we do in life should be in order to grow to Hashem. V'yushivto v'kumo v'dibura kol umazeh adavar, whether it's sitting, standing, speaking, and he goes on to show eating and sleeping and marriage things and everything we do. Sleep, it's supposed to be done not because I enjoy it, not because it's a good steak, not because I'm exhausted, I need to sleep, but because I'm doing it in order to have the kochos, because I want to get closer and serve Hashem. And the Ben Yoyada and Yuma has a similar idea that even one who's involved in all material matters, the idea should be that he's doing it again for the sake of Hashem. And he says, and that's what David HaMelech meant by his halich lefnei Hashem, by Arzos HaChayim, that I'm going before Hashem in the land of the living. Meaning, everywhere I go, I'm before Hashem, with the same idea of Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid. And if on our own level we can strive to see ourselves that no matter what we're doing, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're in the car, whether we're in front of people, or we're alone, where the Yetzer Hara works a lot better most of the time. But if we always think about, you know what, I'm in front of Hashem, and everything I'm doing is because I want to get closer to Hashem, then that also will help us to feel the Shechina when we're davening and talking to Hashem. So these are, again, just a few different possible ways that if we try to make part of us, we will certainly be able to feel the Shechina, and again, it will make a difference in our davening. To close again with our story and then our weekly homework. So there was a 9-year-old boy, B'nai Brak, that had started getting headaches. And slowly the headaches, started to take over his life to the point that they went to the doctor, and after a bunch of tests, they found out he had cancer. And the doctor spoke to this boy and said, you should realize you're going to go through treatments, all your hair is going to fall out, but there's a good chance you'll be okay. And this 9-year-old boy with nice payas went into the next room, and he started to cry. And he started to daven to Hashem, and he said, Hashem, I accept all this. You know what? Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But one thing I ask of you, please leave my payas. I want to at least look that if someone sees him, they'll go, oh, there's a Jewish boy. I don't want them to have to see, wait, does he have a yarmulke on? Was he dressed as? I want to at least look that I'm Jewish. And sure enough, months went by. The chemo took its toll on him. He was completely bald other than the payas. And he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky for a bracha after that. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, brought everyone in that was there at the time to show what the tefillah, again, a sincere tefillah means, but a tefillah even from a child, how Hashem's, waiting, and if we feel it and we believe it and we use the tefillahs properly, then our tefillahs have the kochos, to be answered in all ways. So this week, I figured adding on to all the other things that we've been doing, since we've been working again with the end of the davening with the Kaddish on Aleinu, we worked on the Kaddish of after Rabbi Shmuel, we had the Kavanah for the Mitzvah Sasef Kriyashma both at Shachris and at night, the Kaddish at Ashrei by Mincha, not talking Iftar Baruch Hu by Maariv. So now that we've sort of have hit the beginning and ends of davening, while we're there, so I figured that what we could try to work on is coming to davening on time, one time a day. Whether it's Shachris, whether it's Mincha, whether it's Maariv, that for one davening we're going to work to be there on time, that we're ready to go when the Baal Tefillah gets up to go.